We are so excited that you have joined us online today for our July series, Reset. It's the middle of the year, and it's time for our halftime adjustments. We pray that as you listen to this series, you will be challenged and encouraged to refocus and finish this year strong.
Come on, before you're seated, I want you to look at somebody and tell them the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. Come on, speak it over them today. The best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to the book of Philippians chapter 2. The book of Philippians chapter 2. And as I just mentioned a moment ago, we are in a current series entitled Reset. Entitled Reset. Because July is the first month of the second half of the year. So this is our moment for some halftime adjustments. This is the moment for us to go back over some of those goals and dreams and maybe resolutions that we wrote down on a sheet of paper in January and we haven't thought about since January. But come on, if they're important enough to write down in January, they're important enough to bring back up in July. Amen? And that's what this is all about. It's about us resetting ourselves, resetting our focus, maybe resetting our business, resetting our goals, resetting our direction. And we sometimes in life, this is all we need. We just need a moment to hit reset. How many of you know whenever you're having a problem with your computer, the only advice that people give you is say what? Turn it off and turn it back on, because it will reset itself, and what wasn't working before many times just begins to work. When your iPhone stops working, that's what they say, just turn it off and turn it back on, because it will reset itself and it begins to work the way that it was designed to work. So many times that's just the same way that it is in our life. We get in a habit and things start breaking down and we keep on going trying to make it work, but what we really need is we really just need a timeout, get you a 20-second timeout, get over to the side and just have a moment to reset what is going on, a moment to rethink what are my priorities right now, and we need to build these resets into our life. A quote that we looked at last week, but I just want to bring it back up to you, is by Richie Norton. It said this: every sunset is an opportunity for a reset. Every sunset is an opportunity for a reset. You don't have to wait until next January to start towards your dream. You don't have to wait till next January to write down the goals for your marriage or for your business. No, every sunset is an opportunity for you to reset. And so that's our stream of thought right now as we begin to look more at this topic of reset. We're going to go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, the book of Philippians was written by the Apostle Paul. He is writing here to the church at Philippi. Philippi was a Roman colony. It was a very prosperous colony. And the book of Philippians is interesting because Paul is actually writing them to thank them for a very generous offering that they had sent to him. And so he's writing this as a thank you note, and he's also like giving them an update on all the things that have been going on in his life. And the book of Philippians, it's only 4 chapters long. I would encourage you to read it. If you've never read the book of Philippians, you need to read it. So many great things in the book of Philippians. We're going to focus just on one verse today, Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, and it says this: you must have the same attitude that Jesus Christ had. You must have the same attitude that Jesus Christ had. Some translations say you must have the same mindset. You must have the same selfless humility and love and compassion for others. You must have the same attitude that Jesus Christ had. Today we're going to be talking about reset your attitude. Reset your attitude. Let's pray one more time before we get into the scriptures. Father, we ask in the next few moments that you would do what only you can do. Mold us and make us into everything that you created and designed for us to be. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. And with faith and expectation, everybody in the room said, amen. Amen. Well, you guys might be far too holy and far too righteous to understand what I am about to say. But have you ever read the Bible, and as you are reading the Bible, you get a little bit upset with the person that wrote it? Like I said, that's probably never happened to you. 10 people laughed over here. Thank you for that. I appreciate that. I'll connect with you later. Everybody else's halo is shining so bright, I can't even see today. But you read this scripture in Philippians, have the same attitude that Jesus Christ had. And when I read that, I think, gee, thanks, Paul. That's real kind of you. You know, was it not good enough just to write, have a good attitude? Was that not good enough for you, Paul? Or even have a great attitude? Or Paul, how about even say, have a similar attitude as Jesus Christ? But no, 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 no. You had to go and you had to say, have the same attitude that Jesus Christ had. And you know, it's that love-hate relationship that we have with some of the scriptures. The thing that we hate about it is it says, have the same attitude that Jesus has. The thing we love about it is he says have the same attitude that Jesus Christ had, because he wouldn't tell us that it's possible if it wasn't possible. He says have the same attitude that Jesus Christ had. And then later on in this same letter in Philippians chapter 4, he says, I can do all things through Christ. That means I can have the attitude of Christ in every situation I encounter. Why? Because I can do all things through the power of Christ that is working on the inside of me. So we look at this concept of attitude, having the attitude of Jesus. Let me just give you a quick definition for the word attitude. And you might want to write this down. You know, we are definitely a note-taking community here, because it's not just about having a good experience on Sunday. It's about taking this and making sure that you can apply it to your Monday, your Tuesday, 2 weeks from now, a month from now. And so one of the best ways to do that is by taking notes. So if you have a pen, you were handed a welcome card when you walked in. There's a notes section on there. Or you can take out your phone right now and begin to take notes, but we encourage you to do that. The definition of attitude is this: a settled way of thinking or feeling about something. Attitude is a settled way. It's a settled way. It has already settled. It is a settled way of thinking or feeling about something. Many times we misspeak when we talk about attitude, because this is what we say when somebody, we say things like this: oh, she got an attitude with me. No, she didn't get an attitude with you. She had an attitude. It existed before you ever showed up. She didn't just get the attitude. She has a settled way of thinking about conflict, a settled way of thinking about people that look like you. She had a settled way of thinking about people that ask for what you ask for. She has a settled way of thinking, whatever that might be, there is a settled way of thinking. And you think that she just got an attitude with you? No, she has had that attitude. That's where people mistake. And they say, oh, my 16-year-old just got an attitude with me. No, your 16-year-old didn't just get an attitude. Your 16-year-olds had an attitude. That's why you don't parent teenagers when they're teenagers. You parent teenagers when they're five. Because you have to get control of the attitude when they're six. It can look cute at six, but it's not cute at 16. And so you have to get control, because an attitude is a settled way of thinking. A settled way of thinking about you, of thinking about your rules, of thinking about your authority. It's a settled way of feeling about you, about your rules, and about your authority. It's already settled inside of them, and that's where our attitude comes from. That's why our attitude is so hard to change, because it's settled. It's been in there. There's some roots in our attitude. And that's why whenever we want to change our attitude, it doesn't just happen overnight. There's things that we have to pull out, and we have to begin to change behaviors. There's another definition of the word attitude, and this is a business out of the business dictionary, and I love this definition. It said, a predisposition or a tendency to respond positively or negatively towards a certain idea, object, person, or situation. It's a predisposition. You are predisposed. There is already a tendency in you of how you will respond to a person, to an idea, to a situation. It is already in you whether you will respond to that in a negative or positive way. So whenever you step in front of that person, step in front of that idea, step in front of that situation, the way that you have already settled in your heart, the predisposition of your life, is simply what is going to come out of you in that moment. It is already in there. It is settled. It is part of our nature of how we respond. And then it goes on and it says this about attitude, that attitude influences an individual's choice of action. The action that comes out of your life is being settled or chosen for you by your attitude. The attitude that you have settled into, that you have adopted, whether it be positive or negative or whatever other adjectives we want to put in that, what happens in that moment is it's coming from our attitude. It influences our choice of action, and it also influences our responses. Our responses to challenges, our responses to incentives, our responses to difficulty. I love what Zig Ziglar said, the author and speaker said this: you cannot tailor-make the situations in life, but you can tailor-make the attitudes to fit those situations. I want to say that again. You cannot tailor-make the situations in life, but you can tailor-make the attitudes to fit those situations. You don't have control over everything that happens to you, but you do have complete control over everything that happens in you. Many times when we don't have control over everything that happens to us, we don't want to take the responsibility and control of what is happening in us. We want to focus on all the external. We don't want to focus on the internal. We want to focus on what we can't control instead of what we can control. But you have to understand, God did not ask you to take responsibility for all the situations in your life, but He does demand responsibility for your responses to those situations. That's why the Bible said, Jesus said, you have to forgive. Okay, you can't control the situation. You can't control what somebody else does, but you can always control your response. You can always control your reaction. And so Jesus speaks to that. The Bible speaks to that. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, the Amplified Version, it says this. Jesus is speaking. He says, but first and most importantly, seek, aim at, strive after His kingdom and His righteousness. His way of doing and being right, the attitude and character of God, and all these things will be given to you. Seek first. The most important thing you will do in your life is seeking and striving after and aiming for the attitude and the character of God, His way of doing things. And that's why whenever we look at our life, what we need to see out of our life is the attitude of God, the attitude of forgiveness, the attitude of grace and mercy, the attitude of love, the attitude of kindness, the attitude of peace. That's what we need to see emanating from our lives, because we have so adopted into the character and the attitude that comes from the righteousness of God. But you know, we all have these things that come in and want to mess with our attitude. How many of you know what I'm saying? We find these things on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, on a monthly basis. These things just roll into our life. And I just want to share a few things. There are many things that we could have chosen today to mess with your attitude, but there's just a few things that I have picked out that mess with our attitude. The first thing that messes with our attitude is time. Time messes with our attitude whenever things aren't happening as fast as we think they should happen. I'm not maturing spiritually as fast as I think I should mature, and it begins to mess with my attitude. I should have been promoted by now. I should have been served my food by now. Time begins to press us and begins to manipulate our attitude. My child should have figured out how to live life by this point in their life. Time begins to squeeze us and change our attitude. Whenever we're running behind on deadlines at work and you know that you're not going to be able to finish the project in the time allotted, your attitude is affected. When you hit unexpected traffic or you run into that train going across the tracks and it's going to make you late for that very important meeting or that very important appointment, and all of a sudden now time is impacting and affecting your attitude. But I've discovered this. It's not just time that messes with our attitude. It's also timing. timing messes with our attitude. It's just when you walk out of your boss's office and you just got some bad news about a potential client, and then all of a sudden your phone rings and you answer the phone and it's the principal's office calling you to tell you that your son just punched a kid on the playground and you got to come pick him up from school. Or you got a big day the next day and you're getting ready for that big day, and it just happens on that night that your kid's gonna get sick and throw up all night long, and you just ask yourself, really? Why now? Why now? Why is this happening to me right now? It's the timing, and it's messing with your attitude. You know, it might happen for you on a Sunday night because you're getting ready for a good week and start your week in the office on Monday. But can I tell you, for a preacher, it happens on Saturday night. There was a time not too long ago when it seemed like we went on a consecutive record streak of absolute chaos and controversy on Saturday night in the D's household. It was like if anything could go wrong, it was going to go wrong on Saturday night. And it got to the point where at first you get angry, and then you get confused, and then you're like, is this ever going to stop? But it comes a time where it has to get funny. And Destin and I would just look at each other, and we would just start laughing, like, can you believe this again this Saturday? This is like some kind of record we are going to contact Guinness Book of World Records, because we got this Saturday night thing on lockdown. But it's just the timing of things that tries to mess with your attitude. It tries to mess with your attitude. How about trouble? Will trouble mess with your attitude a little bit? Trouble will mess with your attitude when your car won't start in the morning. That's trouble, and your attitude gets messed with. Whenever your company is suffering and they start laying people off and the rumors begin to circulate that your department is going to be hit next, and trouble begins to arise. Whenever your sister gets diagnosed with cancer and it's treatable, but it's going to be a long uphill battle, trouble just comes in. It's unexpected, it's unforeseen, it's unpredictable, but it's trouble, and it starts messing with your attitude. And you can rest assured that all of your news feeds are constantly making sure that you are aware of trouble. They want you to know that there is trouble in the economy, there's trouble in politics, there's trouble in America, there's trouble in the Middle East, there's trouble in the world, and there's probably trouble right there in your home and in your marriage and everything. They try to stir trouble up as much as they can, and it's the trouble that gets inside of us that begins to mess with our attitudes. There's also another thing that messes with our attitudes, and that is talk. Talk, why? Because voices affect choices. Voices affect choices. The voices that we listen to, the voices that we take in, will ultimately affect our attitude. You can't listen to Uncle Bob complain every day. You can't sit and listen to Aunt Lucy gripe every Saturday. You can't take in Grandpa Joe just spewing his negativity every single time you get around him, and then be surprised when the overall attitude of your life is not what you really want it to be. Why? Because the voices affect your choices. And the most important choice you're going to make is your attitude. And the voices you take in are going to affect that choice. Now, we hadn't even got to social media. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. But let me say this. So social media is not evil. Social media can be a force for good. Social media is not evil. People are evil. Social media is not bad. People are bad. Social media isn't dumb. People are dumb. Somebody should have said amen. You missed your opportunity to say amen. But you know, I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful for Facebook, because a few months back, they figured out, they implemented this feature of the unfollow, where I can unfollow your feed. We can still be friends, and you think we're cool, but I can unfollow your feed so I don't have to read the trash that you're putting on your Facebook page. I just thank God every day. God, thank you for blessing Mark Zuckerberg with this great idea to unfollow so I don't have to read it all. And I use the classic, you know, teenage breakup line. You know, it's the dating breakup line. It's not you, it's me. It's not you, it's me. That's my Facebook approach. It's not you, it's me. It's not that I don't like you. It's just I prefer my attitude over your rant. I prefer my peace of mind over your opinion. I just prefer the joy in my heart opposed to all of your attitudes being thrown out there. It's not you. It's just me. Because I don't want to take in that talk. Because I know a voices are going to affect my choices. And it's not just what other people say, it's also what you say. Do you know that whenever you repeat negativity, you recreate negativity? You just repeat it. You heard somebody else say it. You caught it on the news. You caught it on a Facebook feed. You caught it sitting around the coffee pot at work. And you go home and you repeat the negativity. When you repeat it, you recreate it. So you have to watch what you say, and you have to watch what comes out of your mouth, because the words that we hear and the words that we say are going to constantly mess with our attitudes. There's another thing that messes with our attitude, and that's a word called tension. Tension messes with our attitudes. And tension is a good thing. The one of the definitions for tension is just the act of stretching or straining. And we understand that you got to stretch yourself in order to grow yourself. You got to strain forward if you're going to get anywhere. Tension is a very good thing. And many times when we feel tension, growth is trying to happen in our lives. But if we're not careful, tension can begin to affect our attitudes, because this is what happens. Whenever we are in tension, we start focusing more on the intensity of the pain than the outcome of the growth. And when you focus more on the intensity of the pain, the intensity of the strain, the intensity of the stretch, the intensity of the tension, instead of focusing on the outcome of growth, then your attitude will get infected with the wrong thing. And you need to understand this about transformation. There will always be tension in transformation. Always. Tension is a part of transformation. Anything in your life that you want to change, you will experience tension. In your spiritual life, there's going to be tension. That's why the Bible says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. You got to work it out. Whenever you go to the gym and you are working out, there is tension between you and the weights, tension between you and the rubber band, tension between you. Why? Because you are working it out. There is tension, and the tension is good. Whenever you want to improve your personal performance at work, do you know there's going to be tension? Because the only way you improve is with change, and change will always bring tension. So if you want to improve your performance, if you want to improve your sales, if you want to improve your management experience, whatever it is that you are trying to prove and get better at, it is always going to demand tension, because there's always tension attached to transformation. You want to improve your marriage. You will not improve your marriage is not just going to casually improve. Your marriage is not just going to automatically improve. But we love one another. Who cares? It is not going to improve just because you love one another. It's going to improve when you intentionally sit down and say, we got to have some conversations that we've never had so that we can go to places that we have never gone. We got to change some things in the house so that we can change some things in our life. And whenever you begin to have those conversations, it brings tension, but the tension is going to bring transformation. When tension begins to affect our attitude in the negative way, it begins to sound like this. I just can't do this anymore. I can't put up with this anymore. I quit. This just isn't worth it anymore. And whenever you begin to hear those things, you realize that you're paying more attention to the pain of the tension than you are to the outcome of growth. Because tension will either create two things in your life. Tension will either create growth or it'll create grief. You can let the tension in your life create growth in you, growth in your marriage, growth on your job, or you can let the intention create grief. You say, how does it create grief? It creates grief when you say, this isn't worth it anymore. I can't. I quit. And you take a step back, and now all you have to grieve over is what you lost. Because the tension was too great. The strain and the stretch, it will create in your life either results or regrets. It's one or the other. It's going to create results for you in growth, or it's going to create regrets in you that says, man, I wish I would have hung on a little bit longer. I wish I would have said this a little bit better. I wish, I wish, I wish, I wish. Don't ever let the tension of transformation begin to infect your attitude in the wrong direction. Instead, stay focused on the outcome of growth. Stay focused on the result. Stay focused on where you are trying to get, and you can continue to make your way through it, and your attitude won't get infected, but it will be affected by the positive way that you're approaching the problem. See, we got to maintain the proper attitude. We can't allow time, trouble, talk, or tension to begin to sink our attitudes. And today I want to give you just four practical things that will help you as you reset your attitude. Four practical things. We're going to go through these things really quick, but four practical things that are going to help you reset your attitude. But before I dive into those four things, let me say this. Your attitude will always come down to a decision. We can talk about ways to reset your attitude, but your attitude will always come down to you making a decision. Your attitude will typically follow your emotion until your emotion is overruled by your decision. That's how your attitude works. Your attitude is just going to follow your emotion. However you feel is the way your attitude is going to flow in your life until your emotion is overruled by a decision that says, nope, we're not going to be afraid anymore. Nope, we're not going to worry anymore. Nope, we're not going to be greedy anymore. Nope, we're not going to be ruled by anxiety anymore. Nope, we're not going down this pathway anymore. I am making a decision to overrule my emotion, and the reality of the Christian life is that has to happen every single day. Your decision has to overrule your emotion. We say often here at North Point that we don't feel our way into an action. Instead, we act our way into a feeling. We don't feel our way into, well, I just don't feel that way. Well, we're not waiting to feel it so that we can act on it. Instead, we put action in, and it's amazing that when you begin to have the right actions, all of a sudden your feelings get in line with your actions. But if you're waiting for your actions to get in line with your feelings, it's going to be a miserable existence. Just this week, I was going to work out, and I work out at the Anytime Fitness right up here on Airline that's right by the Firehouse Subs. And the manager of Firehouse Subs, she's there every morning, and I'm normally there somewhere between 6 and 7 o'clock when I'm going in, and she's always there. And sometimes, you know, she's taking some cardboard boxes out to the back. Sometimes she's smoking out the back door, and I see her all the time. And so I'm going in, and this week I'm walking up. She says, how you doing? I said, I'm doing fantastic. Thank you for asking. And she said this. She says, how are you always so positive every time I see you? And without even thinking about it, this is what came out of me. I said, I've been practicing for 20 years. And I got into the gym and I closed the door and I was like, that was profound. I didn't plan to say that. I've never said that before. But when she asked me at 6:15 in the morning, and as I was walking into a place that I was going to punish my body and my flesh, and I'm walking in with a good attitude, and she says, why are you always so positive? I said, I've been practicing for 20 years because there was nothing about my environment, getting out of my warm, comfortable bed at 5:45, brushing my teeth, getting dressed, going to the gym, walking in there, knowing what I was about to put my body through for the next 60 minutes. It was nothing exciting, thrilling, or would give me a good emotion, but I was happy and I was excited and I was full of life, and it was only because of one reason. I practiced for 20 years. Because if you would have seen me 20 years ago, that wouldn't have been my response. But I've been practicing. I've been practicing having a good attitude. I've been practicing positivity. I've been practicing this for 20 years. So whenever the moment came, there was only one thing that was going to come out of me. Why? Because it was settled in me. Doesn't matter how I felt. Didn't matter what time it was. It didn't matter what was going on the night before. It didn't matter what I was going to have to deal with that day. It didn't matter all the meetings that I was going to have. It was just that it was settled in me. It was a way of thinking and a way of feeling about my life and about my challenges and about everything. And so whenever it happened, I've been practicing for 20 years. You can't get upset when you're in year one. You've got to focus on the 20-year journey. Because it will begin to happen in you, but it's always a decision. The Bible says this in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 21. It says, since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, listen to this. It says, throw off your sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew. Say renew. Let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Throw off that old way of thinking. Throw off that old attitude. Throw off that old way of living. Throw off all that, and instead, let the Spirit do a brand new work in you. Let him renew your thinking. Let him renew your attitude so that you can put on the nature that Christ wants you to put on. Four keys to resetting your attitude. We're going to go through these real quickly. Number one is this, engagement. The first key to resetting your attitude is engagement. Engagement. Resetting your attitude happens whenever you are resurrendering your attitude to the one who desires to renew it. Hear me today. This is how resetting your attitude happens. Resetting your attitude happens when you resurrender, your attitude to the one who wants to renew it. How do you do that? That is constantly engaging God. You have to take your life, your thoughts, and your attitude, and you have to engage God. This is what I've discovered about life, is that it's really hard for your engagement to be on point and your attitude to be out of whack. It's so hard for your engagement to be on point with God and your attitude in you to be out of whack. It's so difficult because whenever you are engaged with God, you want to be more like God. So we can't wait till Sunday. We can't wait until we cool down. No, we have to learn, how do I engage God right now in this moment? In Psalm 100, the psalmist writes this in verse 3. He says, acknowledge. Acknowledge. That's one of the first things we got to do. We got to acknowledge in the moment. We need to acknowledge the Lord. We need to acknowledge his presence. We need to acknowledge his will. We need to acknowledge his way. In the moment when our attitude begins to get flustered, in that moment, we've got to engage him, and we engage him by acknowledging his presence. He made us, and we are his. We are his people. We are the sheep of his pasture. It says this, enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. When you're afraid, when you're upset, when you're angry, when you're giving in to lust, whatever it might be, whenever your attitude is being challenged, enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his holy name. For the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation. This is how you engage God. When you feel your attitude getting shaky, engage God with gratitude and worship. Because here's what you will discover. As you begin to lift up his name, at the same time you begin to lift up his Spirit in you. As you begin to lift up his name and you begin to worship him and you begin to glorify him, his Spirit that is in you will begin to rise up on the inside of you. And this is why you have to aggressively engage God. So many times we run from God when our attitude's not right. And sometimes we run because we don't know any better. Sometimes we run because we're ashamed. But sometimes we run because we want to hold on to that attitude a little bit longer. And that's why we have to aggressively engage God to say, God, I don't want to hold on to this attitude any longer. I don't want to hold on to this fear any longer. I don't want to hold on to this. And so I'm going to aggressively engage you, and I'm going to come into your gates with thanksgiving. I'm going to begin to thank you for all that you have done. Thank you for all of your blessings. And I'm going to begin to praise your holy name, because there is no one like you. And as you begin to praise him and glorify him, guess what he begins to do? He begins to renew your spirit and begins to renew your attitude. It starts with engagement. And having the same attitude as Jesus, what we read about in Philippians, having the same attitude as Jesus is only possible when I am fully submitted to Jesus. I can't have the attitude of Christ when I'm not fully submitted to Christ. So I have to be willing to submit my attitudes to Christ instantly, immediately. I've got to engage God, engage his presence, and engage his power. Here's the second thing. The second key to resetting our attitude is our environment. Our environment. Sometimes you just need to change your immediate environment. This is just practical advice, okay? Change your environment. Go for a walk. Take a drive. Go on a bathroom break, a coffee break, a lunch break, whatever break you need to take before you break somebody's nose, whatever it needs to happen, you just got to take a break. An immediate change of environment. Why? Because this will help you with your engagement. I've got to change my environment because I need to engage God. So I've got to step away from whatever controversy, whatever chaos, whatever temptation, whatever that looks like for me that's messing with my attitude. I've got to change my environment. And I'm not changing my environment so I can leave and stew over it and stay upset about it. No, I'm changing my environment so that I can engage God and change my attitude. Got to change my immediate environment. The Bible says in Philippians 4:6, it says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Come on, say everything. Pray about everything. It doesn't matter how small or how stupid it might seem to you. Pray about everything. A conversation didn't go good with one of your coworkers. Pray about everything. Don't let it stew on the inside of you. Don't start playing the what if. What did she mean? How could this possibly affect my future? Don't play that game. Don't get caught up in the traps of the enemy. No. Change your environment. Engage God. Begin to take everything to him and let him renew everything inside of you. It's not always that we need to change our immediate environment. Sometimes we need to change our everyday environment. Sometimes we need to change our everyday habits because our habits have created an environment. Sometimes we need to turn off the 24-hour news channels during the day at some point. Sometimes we need to stop watching the Netflix series that's reinforcing some bad behaviors in our life. Sometimes we need to find some new friends who don't just bash and trash everything and everyone. Sometimes we need to put on some worship music in our home. Sometimes we need to put a preaching podcast in our car on the way to work. We need to change our environments. Years ago, I had gotten into the habit of listening to ESPN radio in the morning time. And without even understanding, without even knowing what's going on, I love sports, I love the entertainment, I love the talk shows, I loved it all. But without even understanding what was going on, so much of sports talk radio is negative, so much of it is sarcastic, so much of it is critical. And what I didn't even realize is that I was becoming sarcastic and critical, and it was reinforcing some bad habits inside of me. And one day, I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to fast for 40 days, and I'm not going to listen to any sports talk radio. And I fasted for those 40 days, and I began to change my morning routine. And do you know what happened to my days? All of a sudden, my days got better. All of a sudden, my attitude improved. And you say, what happened? Because I changed what I was doing in the morning. I changed my environment and my atmosphere, and it changed my attitude. It's not always the immediate change. Sometimes it's the everyday change that needs to take place by changing our environment, turning off the 24-hour news, turning off the country music in the house, putting some worship music on so that you can change the environment, listening to something different whenever you're working out, taking your walk around the neighborhood, start getting the word of God on the inside of you. And all of a sudden, everything in your life begins to change. Why? Because your attitude changed, and your attitude is everything. Here's the third thing we've got to reset to reset our attitude, and that is envisionment. I know that's not a real word. I needed a word that started with an E and ended in M-E-N-T, okay? Hey, when you preach, you can do that too. But here's the truth about envisionment. I need to be able to see what I'm attempting to be. One of the greatest pieces of advice I could ever give you is that you have to begin to envision yourself responding differently. You have to envision yourself speaking to your spouse in a different manner. You have to envision yourself saying different things to your coworkers and your boss. You've got to begin to envision it. If I can't see it, I will never be it. I've got to begin to see it in my mind. And instead of just saying I'm sorry and moving on, don't say I'm sorry and move on. Say I'm sorry and begin to envision. What am I going to do when this situation arises again, and how will it be different? How am I going to say something? This is the thing that changed my life. What I'm giving you, as I said, this is what changed my life. It changed the behaviors of my life whenever I began to re-envision. You know what? I didn't like the way that I said that. I didn't like the way that I was feeling in that moment. I didn't like the way that messed with my attitude. What am I going to do differently to protect my attitude? And you've got to begin to envision it, and you've got to begin to see yourself differently. And when you begin to see yourself differently, what you're really doing is you're really seeing yourself the way that God desires for you to be, because you're seeing the best version of yourself. And when you begin to see the best version of yourself, also you begin to see the best future that God has for you. So instead of envisioning doom and gloom, instead of envisioning lack and not enough, instead of envisioning things falling apart and trouble waiting around every corner, no, I begin to envision a different life. I begin to envision the abundant life. I begin to envision what God created me to live, and that is a life that is full of His Spirit, overflowing with love, overflowing with joy, overflowing with peace, living in the overflow of His character. That's who God created me to be, and that's the future that He created me to live. But I've got to envision it. I've got to be able to see it. And that's why we talk about this year being the year of expectation, because expectation is so important to your envisionment. You seeing what God wants you. You have got to see it. You have got to envision yourself and your future the way God designed it. You might have seen this quote before on a poster or something, and it says, you know, your attitude determines your altitude. Your attitude determines your altitude. Well, I just want to North Point Community Church-ize that. And how we would do that is say this: your expectation determines your elevation. It's your expectation. Whatever you expect out of yourself is going to set the bar for yourself. That's why you've got to envision yourself doing it different. Because if you don't envision yourself doing it different, guess what? You're going to do the same thing you did. You're going to have the same fight, the same argument, walking around that same mountain over and over again. But when I begin to envision myself doing it differently, now my expectation is that I'm going to change. Now I'm raising the elevation in my life so I can go to levels that I've never been at before. Happens because I'm resetting my attitude through my envisionment. Here's the last thing. The fourth thing is encouragement. If we want to reset our attitude, we need encouragement. Your attitude needs encouragement. If you're going to keep your attitude up, you've got to keep your courage up. And you've got to have a plan for your encouragement. You've got to have a plan. This is too important just to leave up to chance. This is too important for you just to leave it up that somebody would hear from the Holy Spirit and somebody would text you or call you. No. This is too important. We are talking about the lifeblood of our life. Our attitude is everything. And I cannot leave encouragement just up to chance. No, I've got to have a plan for encouragement. What are you going to do to encourage yourself? What are you going to do? Because you need it. You know you need it. So what are you going to do to get it? Let me just give you a couple recommendations. One, you want to take your favorite scriptures, write them down in your journal. Make a copy of them, put them in the section, put them in the notes section of your phone. Get your favorite quotes about whatever it is that you need a quote about. Find your favorite quotes. Put them somewhere that is close by where you can get your hand on it. The last thing you need to be doing when you're discouraged, when your attitude is all messed up, you don't need to be taking out your Bible, flipping through, just trying to find something, because you might come across something that you don't need to read at that moment. You need to have your go-to. These are the five scriptures that I read when I'm feeling this way. This is the three quotes that I look at. These are the thoughts that I focus on when I'm feeling discouraged, when I'm feeling overwhelmed, when my attitude begins to mess with me. This is where I'm going to go. You need a plan for yourself. And then here's the other thing that you can do, is that you need to have somebody on speed dial. And you need to tell them in advance. You need to tell them in advance, I'm probably going to be calling you at some point. And you don't have to hear about all my problems. You don't have to hear about everything that's going on in my life. I'm going to call you, and all I'm going to say is, hey, I just need you to encourage me. I need you to pray for me. I need you to give me some perspective. And then they know you're going to call. At some point, they're ready. So whenever you call, and they get your call, and you say, hey, I just need some encouragement. Man, they're ready. And they're going to begin to quote the scriptures to you. They're going to begin to remind you about who you are and remind you about who God is. And by the time you get off that phone, what has happened is now you are encouraged. They took their courage and they put it in you. And when your courage goes up, guess what? Your attitude goes up with it. And now you can live the life that God created you to live. But you cannot do that without encouragement. You need to be encouraged. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13, but encourage one another daily. Oh, the Bible knows we need it. We need it. We need to be encouraged, and we need to be encouragers. But you got to have a plan for it in your life. Your attitude is too vital for your future. Your attitude is too vital for who God's called you to be. Your attitude is too important. That's why it needs to be reset. You need to let the Spirit renew. What does that really? Reset, right? Let the Spirit renew. Just let Him reset it. Let Him renew it every day. That just means He's resetting it every day. What's He setting it on? He's setting it on the character of Jesus Christ, because that's the attitude we're supposed to have. So when the Holy Spirit comes and we surrender to Him every day and we say, I want your will, your plan, God, I want your character, the Holy Spirit comes and He begins to reset in us the character of Christ. He begins to reset in us the thinking of Christ. He begins to reset in us the attitude of Christ, so that I can go out and live my day with the greatest possible chance of success, because I'm letting the Holy Spirit reset my attitude every day. I want you to stand with me this morning. Bow your heads just for a moment. It's so easy for us to live life with an attitude that's out of whack. As your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, I want you to listen to me carefully. I'm so grateful for what the Apostle Paul wrote in Philippians 2:5. That I should have the same attitude as that of Jesus Christ. Because if I don't focus on that, then I start saying, well, my attitude's better than Jimmy's. My attitude's better than Susie's. Well, I guess I'm doing okay. I guess my attitude's in a good place. But Paul didn't say have a better attitude than your coworker. He didn't say have the same attitude as your spouse. No, he said have the same attitude as Jesus. And I don't know what's been messing with your attitude this week, what's been messing with your attitude this year. I don't know if it's time. I don't know if it's trouble. I don't know if it's the talk and the voices. I don't know if the thing that's been messing with your attitude is just the tension of life. But I know today the Holy Spirit wants to come and reset your attitude. Scripture says, let him renew your thoughts and your attitude. That's what he wants to do today. He wants to renew it. He wants to reset it. How are you going to do that? You're going to reset it by engaging him right now in this very moment. Saying, God, my attitude has slipped. God, my attitude towards that person, my attitude towards this situation, God, my attitude towards this problem, my attitude, God, it's slipping in some areas, but God, today I'm ready to engage you. I'm not going to run anymore. I don't want to keep this sour attitude. I don't want to keep this bitter attitude. I don't want to keep this unforgiving attitude. I don't want to keep this greedy attitude. I don't want to keep this fearful, anxious, worried attitude. I don't want to keep it anymore. I'm going to engage you right now. I acknowledge you. I acknowledge that you are my shepherd. I come into your gates with thanksgiving and your courts with praise. Maybe today you need to change some of your environments. Maybe you need to change your envisionments. Maybe today you need to change some habits of your encouragement. But all of those things fall behind engagement. Because if you don't engage God and let his Spirit renew it on the inside of you, it doesn't matter what environment you change. It doesn't matter what you begin to envision and see in yourself and in your future. And it doesn't matter what encouragement you get. If you are not engaging God and letting his Spirit renew and reset your thoughts and your attitudes, nothing else matters. Your head's bowed and your eyes are closed. Say, Philip, I need a reset in my attitude. I need a reset in my attitude. Maybe it even goes beyond your attitude. Maybe you need a reset in your life. You need Jesus to come and reset some things in your life. Maybe you need a fresh start. Maybe today you need to surrender everything to him. And you need to say, God, I'm tired of living my way and I'm ready to live your way. You are Lord. You are Savior. And you need to submit your life to him. And some of you today, your attitude has just gotten a little out of whack. It's drifted from where you want it to be. And today you're saying, God, I need to reset my attitude. Whether you need to reset your life, whether you need to reset your future, or whether today you just need to reset some attitudes right now and you're ready to step into engagement with God. Come on, if I'm talking to you right now, you are ready to reset. Come on, lift your hand right now all over this place. Say, Philip, I'm ready. I need to reset some things today. I need to reset some attitudes, and it's going to start with me engaging and acknowledging God right here in this moment. It's going to start with me acknowledging my sin. Start with me acknowledging my error of my ways. It's going to start right now with my hand lifted saying, God, I'm reaching for you. God, I need you more than I've ever needed you before in my life. Come on, pray this prayer with me out loud and pray it with all of your might today. Say, dear Heavenly Father, I know that I need you. Today is the day where I surrender my will. I surrender my way. And I surrender my attitude. Send your Holy Spirit to reset my thinking and to reset my attitude so that I can be who you created me to be and so I can do what you created me to do. Now, Father, I pray for each and every one over this place in these next few minutes as we engage your presence, as we acknowledge you, God, in this place. God, I pray that attitudes would begin to change. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would come down and begin to renew and begin to reset our thinking and our attitudes. And God, I pray that we would leave today being touched by your hand and being inspired by your Spirit. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Come on, let's lift our hands.
Here at North Point Community Church, we believe in creating Christ-centered, culture-changing community through the message of Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for your support. If you would like more information, you can visit our website at ncc.team or follow us on any social media platform at CC North Point.